I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
At live pictures of the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. This is CNN's special coverage of an event the likes of which this country has never seen. This morning, we are standing by for opening statements in a case that could ultimately put a former president behind bars. Donald Trump is charged with falsifying business records to hide a potentially damaging story about an affair with a porn star. This is something he has long denied. This morning, brand new details about the first witness the prosecution plans to call, a man who once led the National Enquirer and, as the New York Times put it, bought and buried stories that could be damaging to Donald Trump.
And we will give you more details on that guy in a moment, David Pecker. The first witness, the ex-publisher of the National Enquirer. We'll come back to that in a moment. But this is a glorious day for CNN, NNN, and all the rest of the state-controlled media. Donald Trump sitting in a courtroom on trial by a jury of his peers? Not really. A jury of those who hate him but lied to get on the jury? And the judge knows that some of them had animosity, but they claim, yeah, I don't like him, but I can be fair. Is that the kind of jury you would like judging you? Someone that really hates you for something you did who knows when, if ever, but in their mind you're guilty of something, and they're just going to say, I'm willing to look at only the facts and put my emotions and my feelings aside. That is the typical case that comes up in every case at some point or another when something is said out of order and the jury's instructed, forget you heard that. Strike it from the record. And from that point on, it becomes the elephant in the room. Everyone's thinking about that thing that they told us we couldn't consider. Give me a break. All right, let's set the stage for you before we get too deep into this. This is Larry Connors USA, the first of 2 hours. Back-to-back for you right here, Monday through Friday. And here we are, April 22. And this is also at sundown today, begins Passover for our Jewish friends. And we wish them a happy Passover, but across the nation, even as I speak and over the weekend, there have been numerous rallies, often at the site and inspired probably by poison Ivy League colleges and professors. In fact, there's one professor that was not even allowed to go into his class, a Jewish professor at Columbia University. He is an assistant professor. Palestinian activists blocked all Jews from entering, and the staff at the university deactivated the professor's access card. What kind of country is this? It's not what it's intended to be, not what we dreamed it would be, not what it should be. We're going backwards at this rate. And in the meantime, our enemies around the world are laughing and having a grand time. And the state-controlled media is contributing to that. All right, let's begin, first of all, focusing on the opening statements from the Trump case today, because it's going to be a lot detailed over several days, depending on how long they end up doing everything. Of course, Trump is angry to no end that he's even there, and rightly so, because in the words of his prosecutor, let me correct that, obviously not in the words of the prosecutor, but in the words of his attorney, he said, none of this was a crime. None of this was a crime. Well, I'm going to let you hear another side of that, and I'm going to go to one of those state-controlled media so no one can say Larry's only going to give us one side of the story and only one source that is favorable to Trump. This is a CNN legal analyst on the basic case.
The prosecution laying out its theory of the case, which is, quote, this case is about a criminal conspiracy and a cover-up. The defendant, Donald Trump, orchestrated a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 presidential election. Then he covered up that criminal conspiracy by lying in his New York business records over and over and over again. So here they are reframing this, because usually people refer to this as the hush money case, where, yes, hush money was paid to Stormy Daniels for her to stay quiet about an affair that she had with then-candidate Trump, but having an affair is not a crime. Paying hush money is not a crime. The criminal allegation here is that the former president falsified business records in order to cover up that he had to pay this money.
Well, now let's stop one second. If you're going to make that a crime, that he covered up that he paid the money and falsified business records, what do you say to the FBI that had the Hunter Biden laptop in its possession for a full year before it was revealed, and then told days before it was to be released by the New York Post, the other media outlets, social media, and publications like the New York Times and others, this is evidence of Russian propaganda again. You don't want to touch this story. That was a crime against the entire American people. That would be a crime. You put that in contrast to paying money to keep a porn star from saying you had relationships with her. Do you see any comparison? No. Well, let me correct that. That is my opinion. Maybe you do, but I don't. And I would love to hear reasoning as to how you could equate covering up what was on that laptop and denying it existed and telling the mainstream media it's Russian propaganda so they wouldn't air it right before the election. Now, Trump was supposedly paying off, according to the allegations, the Stormy Daniels giving her money, and she signed an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, which she chose to violate, to keep her silent, because he didn't want to hurt his elections. What exactly did the FBI do for Joe Biden right before the election? They hid the laptop because they knew it would hurt him in his election. Somebody got some explaining to do, but you're not likely to get it from these guys. So again, let's go back to this. And again, of course, the jury recessed earlier today and will resume tomorrow, but the first witness they swore in was one of those that they wanted to say, this is the guy. This is the guy that has all the skeletons. And this is the guy that we're going to put up in front of everyone because he knows everything. His name, David Pecker. David Pecker. I know, reference a porn star. It's the Anthony Weiner story all over again. David Pecker was the publisher of the National Enquirer for a period of time. First witness to bring brought in to the New York, quote, hush money criminal trial of Donald Trump. Very brief testimony. He said he had the final say on big celebrity stories going to be in the National Enquirer. And he was, therefore, a central player in an alleged scheme to pay hush money to the adult film star to cover up the alleged affair ahead of the 2016 presidential election. The judge set a hearing over whether Trump violated the gag order, by the way, set also for tomorrow morning, and the jury was then excused until tomorrow morning. But during opening statements today, the prosecutors went to the case directly and said, it is a criminal conspiracy. It is a cover-up. Earlier, the judge also ruled he's going to allow Trump to be asked about the civil fraud and the E. Jean Carroll verdicts, among other past crimes and cases, if he testifies. Trump might want to be on that stand. His attorneys don't want him on that stand for that very reason. Once you put him in, you open a Pandora's box. You don't know what's going to come out. But I want you to get another viewpoint from a CNN analyst, Alina Lina Green. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not trying to mispronounce the lady's name. but she is an expert legal analyst for CNN.
What are you hearing about Donald Trump's thinking going into this week? Because you look at social media or how he talked outside of court on Friday, he seems angry for sure.
He is angry, Kate, and I can say his public comments, his raging about this being unfair, his frustration with the gag order placed on him, all of that is also playing out behind the scenes. He very much does not want to be a criminal defendant in any trial. But this one in particular, I think, is very personal for Donald Trump. And remember, a lot of salacious details are expected to come out of this. You're going to be hearing from people who have been very close to him in the past, people like Michael Cohen, his former attorney and fixer, as they referred to him. That's part of the reason as well that he's very angry about this gag order, because he's not able to attack witnesses. That's something that he is particularly very frustrated about. But a lot of this as well could be embarrassing for Donald Trump, and he does not want this on display, particularly in the lead up to his next presidential election ahead of November.
Of course not. Nor did Biden want the story about the Hunter Biden laptop out before the election. There's a clear similarity, and yet there's a big disparity. And another reason that Trump and his attorneys have reason to be upset, they did not learn until 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, 3 o'clock Sunday, that the first witness the government was going to call was David Pecker, the former boss and held the director, managing editor, and publisher of the National Enquirer. They didn't know that till 3 o'clock yesterday. The prosecution purposely withheld that information because the attorneys for Trump said, look, if we'd known they were going to do that, we'd brought up the records issue sooner if we knew he's going to be your first witness. And Pecker will be back tomorrow to give more details. All right, so with the help of Republicans, over the weekend, the House passed more funding for Ukraine. Got nothing in return. Nothing in return to close our border. You angry? I am. But the reality is that 100 GOP members will have to return to their constituencies this coming election and justify why they are protecting Ukraine's border, but not the USA border.
You wanted Mike Johnson out. What is your alternative plan?
Mike Johnson has betrayed America. He's betrayed Republican voters. Under his leadership, he's passed the Democrat agenda, passed the Biden administration's policies, and fully funded them. We're going to fight in Congress to do everything we can to stop this type of uniparty leadership. Mike Johnson's speakership is over. He needs to do the right thing to resign and allow us to move forward in a controlled process. Yeah. If he doesn't do so, he will be vacated.
Well, that's Marjorie Taylor Greene, who indicates that she still wants to move forward with vacation. Not every by that vacation, we're talking about for him to vacate his seat. Not everyone's on board with it. Let me give you the breakout, by the way, on the Ukraine funding. For those in favor, all the money, and they were broken into separate packages for them, all the money to go to Ukraine, 210 Democrats said, yay! And 3 didn't vote. I haven't even bothered looking into that because I could care less. What I do care about, 111 Republicans said no, nay, but 100 GOP members, quote, GOP members, crossed the aisle and said yay. And then when the vote was taken and tallied, Ukrainian flags were being waved inside the U.S. House of Representatives. Wrong. To wave a foreign flag inside our own National Assembly. South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman was among those that is against the funding, but he warns we need to be cautious moving forward, reference Mike Johnson.
Americans don't expect us to win every fight. They do expect us to fight. That's what's been shocking about it. But now, where I disagree with Marjorie, and I told her that, you know, we got to have an election coming up. We have got to win this election to preserve the country. Now, if you ask most Americans, is who's the next speaker? Is that at the top of their agenda? No. You know, inflation, the border, crime, all the above. But now's not the time. And who's in line to be speaker? Who wants it? They don't have anybody. You know, we've only got, 6 months left? 2 months, we're going to be out of session. The American people don't deserve the drama that took place the last time we picked a speaker. So she's right. We're disappointed in Mike, but I'm not going to support it. And right. He is a good man. I'm not going to criticize him, but now he needs to get in the fight more than he's doing. And to borrow more money with no offsets is at the center of a lot of what he's doing that we disagree with.
Okay, yeah, that's a big part of it, and again, no money that really closes down the border and holds this administration accountable for the rampant crime that's across the face of our nation. Invited in by Joe Biden. MSNBC filed a report on Mike Johnson, beginning with Mike Johnson's statement, "I'm not going anywhere."
I've said many times, I don't walk around this building being worried about a motion to vacate. I have to do my job. We did. I've done here what I believe to be the right thing, and that is to allow the House to work its will. And as I've said, you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may.
So in today's Republican Party, doing the right thing could cost you your job. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is blasting Speaker Mike Johnson as a, quote, lame duck after the House approved much needed aid for Ukraine. And when it comes to her push to remove him as speaker, well, she's now saying, well, she'll let her fellow Republicans hear from their constituents before moving forward with a motion to vacate.
She'll look to the constituents. Well, we'll see if that actually moves forward or not. But hanging in the balance, this is critical. And it's going to get more critical depending on how the vote comes this next November. Every member of the House is up for re-election. Every member. Again, Congressman Ralph Norman, South Carolina.
We have a one-seat majority. Yeah. If you want the Democrats to basically take over, then, you know, go into turmoil, try to pick another speaker. It's not the timing. There are other things that have more priorities than this. And again, who wants the job? I don't see anybody lining up to take it. And we owe it to the American people to do what we can, try to persuade Mike Johnson to stop some of the, to fight, I guess is the best word I know to do it. And hopefully we can do that.
Yeah, I hope they do. I mentioned earlier, of course, that we have these protests underway at Poison Ivy League colleges, often with their inspiration, and yet they're still trying to kind of cap it a little bit because they know it looks bad for them to be supporting anti-Semitism when they've got Jewish students. I told you about the professor not being allowed inside. The daughter of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has been barred from entering Columbia University, suspended, and arrested because she was organizing some of these protests. And now she doesn't have a place to stay. She doesn't have her dorm room. She can't go to her dorm room. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Coming up the next hour, more of the anti-Semitism sweeping across the nation, especially as we are dealing with Passover today. And also, how close are we getting to war with China? My guest, China expert Gordon G. Chain. And before this hour is over, Hillary, relevant, unrelevant, Benghazi, Clinton, claiming Trump will be a dictator. Really? And up next, how we are failing our military, some of our troops stationed in one section of Africa, and the brass, the command, knows it and is doing nothing? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Secretary Warmoth, there's train and equip money requested in this budget, right?
Certainly, Congressman.
And the train and equip mission in Niger is owned by the Army, right?
Yes. We certainly provide soldiers for that, yes.
General, do you know what is going on in Niger right now?
I know there's some challenges over there in Niger right now, and I don't think that we are actually in charge of that mission that's on the ground.
Well, yeah, we just heard the secretary say you've got soldiers there, so we're gonna dive into that to some extent. Do you know what the status is of diplomatic overflights to our installations in Niger?
Yeah, I'm vaguely tracking that's a challenge over there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a challenge. It's binary. Are we allowed right now to do diplomatic overflights in Niger? Yes or no?
I don't know exactly.
You know,
I'm not tracking
Madam
it
Secretary,
that close.
Do you know if we're allowed to do those diplomatic overflights?
I don't, but I'm sure the AFRICOM commander does.
Yeah, but you guys just said it's in the budget you're asking for to do these train and equip missions. One of them is in Niger. In Niger right now, the government has stopped us from doing diplomatic overflight missions. So we have Army soldiers right now in Niger who aren't getting their troop rotations, who aren't getting their medicine, who aren't getting their supplies, who aren't getting their mail, and the two senior people in the United States Army are sitting before me, and it's like, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Boy, is he right. He is absolutely dead right this time. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, this was last week as he was questioning, as you heard, the Secretary of the Army and one of the commanders, and I don't know. I don't know much about it. I mean, I really don't. That is your responsibility. Now, you were hearing Gates referred to as Niger, there have been different pronunciations going around for some time, much like we went through Qatar. Bottom line is we've had about 1,100 troops inside that region in Niger, if he wants to call it that, for some time. And the issue being that they're saying, we're no longer getting flights in here to bring us food, medicine, and in some cases, water. And we're not getting any support from the locals. You know why? Because the Russians have arrived on the scene, and the Russians are kind of trying to take over. We know, and we've talked before, about how Russia and China are trying to exploit underdeveloped nations and countries like those in South Africa, like those in South America, anywhere they can, where they can put a footprint in and begin to offer new things and better things for the people and win their support. This is the trail of cheese that leads to the trap. But the complaints have been coming out from some of our military station there that we're not getting anything. In fact, the report had been picked up by several. I'm going to give you one source right here. This is The Intercept, one of the sources that have often been stated. And according to this new report issued by Congressman Gates, not only are U.S. military members saying they can't get medicine, mail, or other support from the Pentagon, he added in his interview with The Intercept, the Biden administration and the State Department are engaged in a massive cover-up. They're hiding the true conditions on the ground of U.S. diplomatic relations in Niger, and are willfully abandoning our troops in that country with no help. What the hell are you doing? You send our folks there and then you walk away? Good luck. I didn't like what we did in Afghanistan, how we left the Afghans behind that had helped us for 20 years, and we pulled out in the middle of the night, and then they're out there still fighting the Taliban and calling for airstrikes the next day. There are no planes going to come, no drones, no missiles, no rockets. The U.S. has left the country and turned out the lights, pretty much, except for Kabul International Airport, where they're still trying to get people out, and of course that led to a perfect opportunity for a suicide bomber. This is the Biden administration. This is what you get when you start looking and choosing people and putting them in places of high command based on DEI wokeness. You're not getting those who are skilled and capable and even understanding what's needed. I would like to take the Secretary of the Army and that general and put them both in Niger and say, good luck. I'll bet there'd be some changes pretty fast, don't you imagine? Colonel Abdurrahmani, who is a spokesman for Niger's ruling junta, took to the national TV network denouncing the U.S. and therefore ending the longstanding counterterrorism partnership we've had with them. We were in there with our troops and even civilian defense department employees to operate since 2012 to try to make sure we kept an eye on that region. But he stated the other day, last month, that, nope, you're no longer welcome here, and we're not letting flights in. We've invested right now more than $1 billion over the last decade. $1 billion sounds like penny cash compared to what we're giving Ukraine. It is. But we've investigated $1 billion. Now we're agreeing to withdraw our 1,000 forces from that West African nation over the next few months. It was not a move we wanted to make or hoped to make. In fact, some officials are telling CBS News it will be a severe blow to U.S. counterterrorism efforts in a region known to represent a major growing threat. Now, I don't know how good you are on geography. I'm not super good, but I obviously anything I'm reporting on, I'm going to do some research for you. Niger is a landlocked country, and they got unstable neighbors all around. They've got local militias who have already joined with national terrorist outfits, Al-Qaeda and ISIS. One U.S. military official who spent time there said the withdrawal will be a devastating blow both for our regional counterterrorism efforts and overall peace in the region going forward. Our soldiers worked for years building this capacity, providing training to regional forces. It's going to be a tough blow on all over. Again, back to Congressman Gates last week when he was questioning the Army Secretary and the Biden regime and how they're not only covering up but abandoning our U.S. troops.
How about the great power competition? You would agree on train and equip missions. We would never want Russian soldiers at the U.S. installation where we're doing train and equip, right? That's not even a tough question. You would agree.
Yes.
And so if there were Russian soldiers behind the wire at Air Base 101 in Niger, where we have soldiers doing the train and equip mission, that would concern you, wouldn't it? Right. Well, I'm here to tell you we've received reports that they run out of medicine in May, that they cannot get their troop rotations. And you know why you don't know that? Because it's a cover-up. Because the U.S. Embassy in Niger is covering it up because of Secretary Blinken's embarrassment. Because Blinken went there in March of 2023 and said this was the centerpiece of our Africa strategy. This was the model of resilience. And then, lo and behold, the very coup leader we trained takes over the country. And then we struggle with whether or not to call it a coup. We've now called it a coup. Since we've called it a coup, now they won't let us get folks in and out. And so I'm looking at what could erupt as another Benghazi.
Yes.
Where there is no mission to do. There is no train and equip right now with the coup leaders. So we got a bunch of people sitting around without their supplies, without their medicine. And the whole reason intelligence isn't getting to us is because the embassy is blocking it because Blinken is humiliated that this failed.
And it has been a failure. And we have Russian troops inside our lines. That is, again, what is called a fifth column. They're behind our lines. They're operating inside our barriers, much as what we have going on in this nation right now with all the terrorists that have come in. There was a military coup in 2023. The Nigerian leaders made it clear in various discussions they're not interested in the U.S. helping guide them toward democracy. They were turning to Russia for security services. So in March, the head of U.S. Military African Command, General Langley, warned members of Congress, quote, a number of countries are at the tipping point of being captured by the Russian Federation. And just days before he testified, Langley had traveled to Niger, if you want to call it that, to meet with the country's junta leaders. It did not go as they had hoped. Once again, Congressman Gates.
And I've used my 5 minutes on everything in the army right now because I have constituents who are there in Niger and they're wondering how to get water. Did you know they can't even get clean water? Did you know that the partner nations that we have at that base with our soldiers, the partner nations, the Italians and the Germans, they've stopped cooperating with us. They won't even help us get provisions to our troops because of the status of forces agreement that we have with the government being deemed invalid. I am just a country lawyer from North Florida, but this strikes me as something the two of you should know about. I get the blank stares, but Secretary Warmoth, can I take as your commitment that you're going to leave here and you're going to see to the well-being of these folks in Niger and that they can get the rotations and the medicine they need?
Certainly, I will make sure they're getting the medicine and the water that they need. Yes, Congressman.
Great. Mr. Chairman, I have a number of unanimous consent requests. First, an article from Politico. It's like a bad movie. U.S. officials who helped train Nigeria troops reel from coup.
Without objection, so ordered.
Russian troops arrive in Niger as military agreement begins, and from the BBC.
Without objection, so ordered.
Uranium, Niger termination of U.S. military ties followed accusation of uranium deal, March 17, 2024, from the Wall Street Journal.
Without objection, so ordered. Gentlemen's time's expired.
It has expired, but the statement stands, and that is that we need to get our troops out of there immediately. They're not going to be shipping and doing anything for it, and unfortunately, we're going to lose a very vital listing post. I'm going to discuss that with Gordon Chain coming up in the next hour. But up next, what's being done to hide the Hunter Biden issue?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnersUSA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire Moving. com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love is, oh, and I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary when what deep in love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We talk about the erosion for Biden, and now you start to see it. Look at these numbers. Trump advantages on all of these traits.
And I stop here because competent and effective, that was President Biden's, the crux of his campaign pitch back in 2020.
And we actually polled this question in 2020, and it was basically the exact opposite. It was Biden with about a 10-point advantage over Trump. And again, same with handling a crisis. Biden had the edge over Trump. And how about this? It's the former president, the current president. We don't really see matchups like this. Well, now we can measure it. Who has the strong record as president? And again, Trump outpacing Biden on that front. And again, you got to mention this one too. Necessary mental and physical health. We asked this 4 years ago. It was a wash. It's now a clear liability for Joe Biden. So these are all troubling numbers for Biden.
And they're all from a CNN survey. Correct that. NBC survey. My bad. That's an NBC survey. They really want it to look better for Biden, just like the rest of the state-controlled media. But while liars figure, sometimes the figures do not lie. And they don't look good for Joe Biden. Not on any of the conditions you just heard them express. And yet you're continuing to hear from the left that this Biden is going to be better than your alternative. You got to keep that in mind. And that's basically how they're trying to frame it now. Biden and Trump, obviously, two polar opposites in various ways. And obviously, Trump is more polarizing when it comes to dividing people than Biden. Biden just is milquetoast. I mean, they don't get really excited about him one way or the other, period. With Trump, there's angst, anger, and at the same time, vocal and raucous support. Biden, they're just hoping to get people to the polls. They think if we can just get them there, maybe we can pull this out. And, of course, they have the convention coming up in Chicago, a great sanctuary city, which where I told you last week and you heard some of the Chicago residents saying, we didn't ask you to make us a sanctuary city. You didn't give us a vote on it. You guys decided it. Now we're paying for it. We're talking about the poorest among those in Chicago. And in the black neighborhoods and minority neighborhoods, you're trying to put encampments for illegals inside, opening us up to more crime. We didn't want that. We don't want that. But they did it anyway. And now coming this summer, they're going to have the Democrat National Convention. This is going to be a true S show, stuff show, whatever word you want to put in. You got the idea. But Governor Pritzker is going to be looking forward to hosting and opening the convention. And after all, it's taking place in his home state, and he is heading up the campaign in Illinois for Joe Biden.
People understand that there are really only two candidates that have a path to victory in this country and in Michigan. And, of course, that's Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And the the challenge for people is, you know, you're looking at two very different sets of values. And I think people understand that it's Joe Biden that stands for American values.
No, I don't think American people see that. Some might. Joe Biden, I will remind you, has never worked a day in his life except as a lifeguard, dangling his legs in the pool so the kids could come over and run their hands up and down his hairy legs and watch the hair move and get a laugh out of it. Other than that, he's been at the government teat all the time. And, of course, was a senator and then eventually a vice president and now president. If he represents America, we are lost. And yet there are a lot of people that are just kind of willing to... I almost think in the back of the mind of some, well, let's give him another 4 years. We'll figure out something in the process. This means like you're going on a long trip with a family. And your gas gauge isn't working. And you got to cross the desert at one point. But you don't know, you know, maybe you push the car and tap it a little bit trying to say, I think we got enough fuel. You think we should put another can in the car, carry a can extra? No, I think we got enough. We'll just kind of get out there and see how it runs and how far. I'm sure we'll make it. I'm confident we'll make it. And not too far down the road, dead. Hopefully you and your family will get out of it for your stupidity. Hopefully this nation will get out of what we've got with Biden and the stupidity they put him there and those trying to keep him there. They're basically trying to hang on to their power. That's what they're doing. That was one NBC poll. Now, that was talking about, as they were saying in the beginning, as to which candidate is considered to be, at that point, considered to be better. They also did another part of that survey, and this one was dealing with recent presidents in the past at some point in their presidency. When you start breaking them out, Joe Biden is at the bottom.
Put this in some context here. These are other recent presidents at this point in their reelection campaigns. Where were their approval ratings? Again, you see Biden's 42%. And one thing that jumps out, they were all higher than Joe Biden. The other thing, the two presidents on this list who did not win reelection, of course, Donald Trump 4 years ago, he was at 46%. And back in 1992, George H.W. Bush, he was at 43%. Biden below both of those. The last time Biden's been at this level, 46%, you got to go back to the start of 2023. The last time he was higher than that, you got to go back to the summer of 2021, his first year as president. So Biden has some work to do on that front.
Yeah, he does have a lot of work to do. His people do. They could keep propping him up, winding him up. I mean, they're trying to take advantage of it because right now Trump is tied up in court. So they're trying to push Joe out there a little more. They don't have the excuse and the perfect storm of COVID for him to stay home in the basement right now. Now, you heard how Pritzker says, Joe's a man of the people. Pritzker has no idea what the man of the people is. He's an extremely wealthy man. He doesn't know anything about common people except the ones who drive his car and wash it. Then you go to Governor Kristi Noem, and she's got an entirely different opinion, obviously.
I'm focused on what he did when he was in the White House. And when he was in the White House, every single day as governor, I got to be on offense. I got to solve problems. And since Joe Biden has been in the White House, I just have to defend the freedoms of my people in South Dakota. I'm every day trying to push back on what this federal government is trying to do by increasing costs for the everyday families that get up every day and go to work. So, yes, Donald Trump should be back in that White House. I'm going to do all I can to help him win. And, Dana, I've run 11 campaigns, and I've won them all. I don't know how to lose. So I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I help Donald Trump win again.
Now, that's a governor who obviously recognizes that we've got to have a change from where we are now. And, of course, Kristi Noem, South Dakota governor, she might well end up being on the ticket with Trump. She's not saying that because of that possibility. She's saying because she believes it. Now, let me turn to a woman who You can't believe anything she says. She doesn't even believe what she says, but she expects you to buy it. Full throat buy it right now on the spot. Hillary Benghazi Clinton. Hillary Benghazi Clinton. I will not let that go down unanswered and forgotten. She continues to push the narrative that Trump will be a dictator. Why? Well, because it's true. No, it's not true. But because of one statement he made, but she's willing to ignore how the Biden administration has weaponized the government against the people, as a true dictator would do.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Putin does what he would like to do. Kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants. And so we have to be very conscious of how he sees the world, because in that world, he only sees strongmen leaders. He sees Putin. He sees Xi. He sees Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Those are the people he is modeling himself after. And we've been down this road in our, you know, world history. We sure don't want to go down that again. And especially when my view, having negotiated with Putin and knowing that one of the reasons he went after me is because he knew I would, you know, deal with him in an appropriate way, and Trump would basically do whatever he wanted.
You know, she'd had a horn. She'd been tooting it, because that's clearly what she was doing. The way I dealt with Putin, Trump's going to be a strong man like they are. We want a strong leader. You do understand that. We want a strong leader. We don't want a weak, ineffective like we've got now that is commander-in-chief in name only. Do we want a dictator? No. Where is this dictator word coming from? Trump uttered it himself, said the first day in office, I'm going to be a dictator. The first day. And what he meant by that, I'm going to be reversing every executive order that Biden put in place to open the border, to shut down Keystone Pipeline and others. I'm going to rewrite all those and kick them out. I will be a dictator that day, and then we'll get our nation back on track. But they want to take it and say, see, he's talking about being a dictator. And remember, he's talking about a bloodbath if what? He doesn't win? No, he's talking about a bloodbath if you continue to let imports run over our nation and China. I watched a documentary last night. You might have seen it. It's called War on Whistleblowers. It was pointing out, here's Hillary Clinton, so concerned about controlling the American people. It was pointing out Bush, 45, was part of it. But the two prime and the most recent examples, and I think it might have been shot before Trump came into office, but the record of Trump versus Obama and Biden is nowhere equal. It made a point to say that Obama, while he talked about hope and a full transparency, has been the toughest on whistleblowers, shutting them down, and that he began to side and fall in with the intel agencies, probably because he's got things to hide too, you know. That's an estimation on my part. I don't have facts, but I'll throw it out there for consideration. But he's really ingrained himself with the CIA, Department of National Intel, and if anybody's blowing a whistle about something going wrong, he says, put them in jail, if not hanging them for treason. This report was pointing out Obama and Biden together have done more to censor the press than any other president. Hillary, you got an answer for that? Of course not. And then we have what we've seen happening constantly with the IRS whistleblowers and the FBI whistleblowers. Margo Cleveland of The Federalist has a piece out titled, Is Biden's IRS Meddling in the IG investigation, the Inspector General's investigation of Hunter Biden whistleblowers. If they're meddling at all, it's wrong. It's abuse of power. It's something a dictator would do. She points out the IRS needs to get into gear immediately and provide answers about the scope and status of the alleged investigatory processes into the Hunter Biden whistleblowers. That's what Senator Chuck Grassley told the Federalist. He made that statement after getting a letter from the IRS commissioner stating the IRS is not investigating the whistleblowers. Any investigation will be handled by the Inspector General's office to ensure independence. But he takes no comfort in that. Last month, Special Counsel David Weiss responded to a motion Hunter Biden filed seeking to dismiss the criminal tax charges pending against him. In his motion, he argued that the IRS supposedly, quote, outrageous conduct violated his due process rights, justified dismissal of the indictment. Now, that outrageous conduct he's citing, according to his motion, consisted of the government, quote, not taking action. You can't say this and not laugh. Not taking action to curtail the misconduct or prevent the unauthorized disclosure of confidential grand jury and taxpayer return information. In other words, his, by IRS agents Shapley and Ziegler. They had a declaration under seal stating the IRS has taken responsible steps to address them. But then a lot of it's redacted, so you don't know exactly what they're doing. That's the way they like it. Here's the information. All that black stuff on the paper, just turn the page. Oh, there's more. Oh, you turn, keep turning the page. You reach the end of it. Well, here's one more blank sheet of paper to put there. See if you can read that one. That's what a dictator does, Hillary, Benghazi, Clinton. Coming up, how close are we to war with China? And what about the situation in Africa and Niger and with Russia? Gordon G. Chain, China expert, will be joining us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.